Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time. I'm over here at the lighthouse on a Tuesday afternoon because it's just a beautiful day, a little warmer than it has been, so I decided I'd come over and do the broadcast this afternoon. You tune me in, by the way, of WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM. Or in the low Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And I welcome each and every one of you that's tuned us in today. Others have tuned us in by way of WGLM, M106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both the Ionia and the Greenville station by the way of the web. Others have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that's listening by the way of my website is PastorKenHarger.com. Of course, you bring your mouse up over messages from the lighthouse, and a current media will show up. When you click on current media, the top message is the message for this morning. Whatever way you joined me, I'm just so glad to have you being a part of our broadcast time today. I want to say thank you to those that take care of the financial involvement that there is with doing this kind of ministry. So a big thank you to Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, to the Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans, and to Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years, and I still attend there, two of the services of the three. So I'll give you an invitation to attend Saturday evening at Shiloh, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service is at 10:45. And we also have a Greenville campus called Shiloh and Greenville. It's at the old Calvary Baptist Church on the corner of Grove and Lorraine Street in Greenville. And that service begins at 11 o'clock. Once again, I want to say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music. She's done it for a lot of years, and I just sent her the month of October, and she's working on that music for that now. So I appreciate her so very much. The message we're talking about this morning, you know, when Jesus was here, the religious people of Jesus' day gave him probably the most problems of anybody. And they were causing all kinds of difficulty in his life. And you know, Jesus dealt with that, and I believe he dealt with it beautifully. But you know, what I want to talk about this morning is there can be religion, and there often is religion. But what we want to talk about is the God factor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He came to bring us salvation. And we need to see the God factor in our life. And I'll be addressing that this morning. It's a component in your life that is very much needed in order to be more than religious, but to have what Christ wants us to have, new life in him. And we'll deal with that in just a little bit. Got a song I want us to listen to get us started. I'm not what I was. You know, we need to see that there's making some progress. I'm not what I want to be, neither. I haven't gone as far as I'd like to go. I haven't accomplished as much as I would desire to accomplish. But we're going to listen to this song, and then I'll be right back, and we'll share the message for this morning. Looking forward to God's blessing to be upon our time together. So here we go. I'm not what I was.
I'm not
what I wanna be.
I'm not
what I'm gonna be.
Thank God
I'm not what I was. What I was.
I'm not
what I wanna be.
I'm not
what I'm gonna be.
Thank God
I'm not what I was. What I was.
Those things I counted once for gain are counting now for loss. My course was changed and routed by the roadway of the cross. And though I know I'm not the man that I'm supposed to be, I press toward the calling of the Christ who died for me.
I'm not what I wanna be.
I'm not
what I'm gonna be.
Thank God
I'm not what I was. What I was.
daily to attain the likeness of his love, that I may have the resurrection power from above. I run each day toward the prize, his perfect peace to win, and on that day he calls me home, I know I'll be like him. I'm not
what I wanna be.
I'm not
what I'm gonna be.
Thank God
I'm not what I want. What I want.
I'm not
what I wanna be.
I'm not
what I'm gonna be.
Thank God
I'm not what I want. What I want.
That's a good way to get us started this morning. I'm not what I want to be. I know that I'm not what I used to be. And we need that progress that's taking place. And that progress, we're giving credit to the Lord Jesus Christ and the difference that he's made in our individual life. Well, as we get started this morning, I do want to remember our listening audience in prayer and asking God's special blessing to be upon each and every one of you. And as we gather together, I know there's been many difficult things that each of us have gone through this past week. Every week seems to be adding some new things to our life. But, you know, we just need to keep trusting God and believing that he's going to charge and he's going to work it all out according to his will and his divine purpose. So let's just bow together for a few moments. Dear Father, as I come into your presence once again today, I come on behalf of the listening audience. I'm asking that your special blessing would rest upon each and every one that has tuned us in, whatever way they have tuned us in this morning. As this message goes forth, I want to speak to each one of our hearts. But I wanted to minister to the needs of the listening audience in a very special way. That's the reason I'm over here at the Lighthouse this afternoon, putting together this service, to hoping that God will use it to bring about some blessings in some other people's lives. So I want to pray especially for those that's going through maybe a difficult time. Maybe they're just having physical problems. Maybe some of it is emotional problems. Maybe some of it is spiritual problems. Some, Father, found out they just got cancer, and they realize they got a long road ahead of them. Others are fighting cancer with chemo and radiations and other ways that they're going about it. So, Father, I just want to pray your special blessing to be upon each person, regardless of what their need is. Dear Jesus, would you meet them at the point of their need? And then, Father, also, I've been praying these last few weeks for any unspoken requests. So somebody in the audience, listening audience today, has an unspoken request, I just ask them right now just to be thinking about what that unspoken request is. And Father, I don't need to know what it is. You know what it is. They don't know what it is. And so, Father, we just come in behalf of the listening audience for whatever unspoken request they may have at this moment, that you would minister to that need and you would meet that need according to your will. And Father, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for what you do. And so we just pray that your will and well way would be done. And I'll thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, what a privilege it is for me to be able to share with you this morning. My voice is still giving some difficulty. We may have to look a little further to see what's going on, but right now, we're just concerned about doing the very best we can in this service for you folks this morning. As you listened in, as you tuned us in, that this might be a source of encouragement to you. As a foundation for this message today, I want us to consider this truth. Jesus meets us where we are in life. but he never leaves us where he finds us. I always like that. Jesus meets us wherever we are in life. And when he finds us, he never leaves us where he found us. I'd like to ask this question. Where do you turn to when life's trials seem to be overwhelming? We need somebody to turn to. In every area of our life, I believe most of us know how much we can handle. It's kind of like this idea of pain tolerance. You know, oftentimes when you visit a doctor and they'll talk about your pain that you might have, the doctors have come to the way of trying to help us to figure out what the pain is by saying to us, you know, from 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain you've ever had, how's your pain today? And, you know, sometimes I think, well, how often smack me and show me what a number 10 is like, then I'll know a little bit better. But, of course, they can't do that kind of a thing. But I believe we need to realize that we all have a pain tolerance, and we all have our own way of figuring out from 1 to 10. But then when things change in our life, when we take into consideration some things that's been going on in our life, for instance, a long-term pain, I think is sometimes so much more difficult than just a headache. Something we're dealing with day after day after day. You know, when we think about those kind of things, I think the tolerance after a while gets a little bit less. Those of you who have been going through some serious illness, or we've had an operation in the past, I've had two knees replaced. And sometimes when there's a very long recovery period, because we never want it to take as long to get better as it does, one of those type of recovery periods that seems to never end, and is a very serious problem. The healing and all that is going to take place is going to take a very, very long time. And as the days and the weeks and sometimes even the months go by, we've been through that kind of thing before. You know what? The tolerance gets a little less. I think we need to realize that even as we've gone through this COVID thing, the amount of time that we've been in COVID-19, after a while, it gets to be annoying. And many of us have probably already arrived at that point. I'm ready for this to be over, we might say. I was thinking about this the other day, and I remember when I first became a Christian, I asked Jesus into my life when I was about 17 and a half. And I was going to Sunday school. And there was a camp up at Gull Lake called Christian Youth Training Camp. And because I was growing quite fast as a Christian, my Sunday school teacher, her name was Leola Johnson, and she was a very good teacher. She made arrangements for me to be able to attend Christian Youth Training Camp. And you know, when I got there, I was so surprised to see, because I was just a young man and I just had asked Jesus into my life, and I was so surprised to see so many young people that were doing the same kind of thing. And I had a camp counselor. I'm sorry, but I can't remember his name at this time. But I do remember that one time in the devotion time that we had, and he said, "Now, I want each one of you to find a verse in the Bible and to memorize it as a verse that is very special to you about being here at this camp." He did that, I think, on a Friday. And then he told us that we would be sharing that evening what our verse was. And so I found a verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. I just was looking and all of a sudden I came across this verse. And of course at that period of time it was the King James, because that's a long time ago. He says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I really liked that verse. And I, when it was time for me to share my verse, I was really glad to be able to share that. But you know what I didn't know? What I didn't know, that that verse at that time when I memorized it, that that verse would come into play many, many times in my life as I was going through one kind of a trial or another. And when the trials were really overwhelming me, this Bible verse was my God factor in a time of trial. In other words, I could know that I was going through this trial, but I had a promise from God. I had something that God had said about the trials that I was going through. That's what I want to call this morning the God factor. God factor is the idea that God says when I'm in a trial. God saying, I will not allow you to be tempted above what you can handle. And then the idea, too, when you're going through something, God is saying, I'll make a way of escape. I'll make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. Now, that's a good thought. I'm going to help you through this. Now, see, that's a difference I'm thinking between just the idea of being a religious person, an idea of being realizing that in God's Son, the Lord Jesus, and in God's Word, as we use God's Word as the main purpose of why we're who we are, and we use this one, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for each and every one of us, and we get the idea that they have some things to say about what we're going through. And so now this trial of COVID-19, I've used this verse many different times. The thought of God makes a way of escape. And we need to do the things in our individual lives that will help us find that way of escape, so to speak. So what I want to do as I go through this message this morning, I want to show you that there were some people that Jesus worked with that were religious people. And they were very religious, but they were missing this idea of thinking that God really personally cares for them. I believe what the difference in Christianity and religion is, the component of God really caring for us on an individual basis, and God wanting us to have not a religious idea, but a relationship with this God who really cares for each one of us. There was a man by the name of Paul. He had an encounter with Jesus when one day he was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, what he called himself. And he really was very religious. And he thought this one Jesus was some kind of a cult. He's trying to destroy the Jewish way of religion. So he was doing everything in his power to try to destroy this thing called the Christian life. And what he needed was the component of a personal relationship with God. And I love years later, after God had struck him down on the road to Damascus and told him what he wanted him to do. And years later, this man is writing a note to a young man that's going to be a minister, that is a minister, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7. First of all, he says to this young minister, this Paul, now who's all very old, I encourage you to make petitions of prayers and intercession, prayers of thanks for all people, prayers for the rulers, for everyone who has authority over us. Pray for these people that so we can have a quiet and a peaceful life, always lived in godly and reverence way. Pray for them because that source of prayer will make this world to be a better place for you. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior. Now listen what he describes about this God. This God our Savior, he says, he wants all people to be saved. And he wants to learn them to learn the truth. And here's the truth he wants them to know. There is one God. and there is one mediator between God and a human person, and that is the human Christ Jesus. This one Jesus, he sacrificed himself for all people to free them from their sins. This message is valid for every era. I was appointed to spread the good news and to be an apostle to teach people who are not Jews about faith and truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. See, Paul's sharing with Timothy that this truth that he's talking about is good for 2020. It's good for us today. God wants us to know our responsibility is to do our part, to be men and women of prayer, and praying for those people in places of authority, and praying for those around us, whatever the need might be. And then he goes on to say, I want you to do this because I wanted to help your life. I want you to do your very best to live a quiet and peaceful life. Isn't that what we really want to do? I don't know about you, but I don't like all this turmoil. I don't like all the condemning of one another we're hearing this political year. I don't like the denouncing of things in such a vivid way of pointing fingers at one another. I'd rather have it be a little more quiet and peaceable. And then he says, I want you to live in a godly and reverent way. That when you listen to all this other stuff that's going on, you still maintain, because of this God in your life, you maintain a sense of quietness, you maintain a sense of reverence for this God. This is good, and it's pleasing to God our Savior. Then he shared with Timothy a truth. God's part is that he loves each one of us. He wants all people to be saved. And he wants all people to learn the truth about who this one Jesus is. And he wants them to know there's only one God. And each individual life will receive the gift of God in Jesus Christ. When you ask for the forgiveness of sin, that this one Jesus were able to produce that for you because he sacrificed his life upon the cross of Calvary. What a beautiful thing he's teaching us that is important for us to get a hold of. It's talking about the fact that you can know in your heart and in your life that you have a personal relationship with God, not just the religious ideas of God, but a personal relationship of the God who loved us so much that he sent his son into the world. And God wants us to have that. Apostle Paul, he used this principle one time. I love the way he did this. He was in a town, I think the city was Athens, and he was looking around and he saw so many idols. And he's thinking, man, this is a religious city. This is a religious place. And you know, because there were so many different types of religion, there was all kinds of thoughts, and none of them agreed with one another and that kind of thing. And I want to read this story. It's a little bit long, of what happened with Apostle Paul there in the city of Athens. Paul stood in the middle of the courtyard. Men of Athens, he said, I see that you're very religious. I was going through your city and looking closely at the objects you worship. I noticed the altars that is written on it. One altar said, to the unknown God. I'm telling you about this unknown God, that you're worshiping, you don't know him. I want to explain to you who he is. He is a God who made the universe. He made everything in it. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in shrines made by human hands. He isn't served by humans as if he needed anything. He gives everyone life and breath and everything they have. From one man, he has made every nation of humans to live all over the earth. He has given them seasons of the year, boundaries with which they can live. He has done this so they would look for God and somewhere be able to reach to God and find him. In fact, God is never very far from every one of us. Certainly we live and move and exist because of him. And even some of your poets have said, we are God's children. So we are God's children. We think that that divine being is like an image made from gold or silver. That can't be, folks. It's not a stone. It's not an image of that's produced by human imagination or skill. God overlooked the times when the people didn't know any better. But now God commands everyone to turn to him and to change the way they think and act. That's the main thing about Christianity, is that it's to change the way we think and to change the way we act. To be more thinking like the way God thinks and to act more like the Lord Jesus act. That's what he wants from each one of us. He's telling us, and it goes on to say, there's a day coming when God will judge the world with justice, and he will use a man that he has appointed to do this, and that man's going to be Jesus. God has given proof to everyone that he will be able to do this because he brought him back to life after he died upon the cross. That's the proof of who this one Jesus is. I always like to say those words. One day Jesus said, if I die, I will rise again. And 3 days later, he came out of that tomb to tell us, life is precious. Life is valuable. And eternal life is in this one Jesus. By the way, when those people heard this man Paul talking, when they heard him say about somebody being resurrected from the dead, you know, they begin to say, make jokes about it. And also some of them said, we'll hear you again another time on this. I'm not ready to believe this now, but we'll listen to you another time. But you know what, folks? Some people followed Paul and became a believer in Jesus. God wants us to know, are you wanting to follow the Lord Jesus? It's more than a religious way of life. It's a person. We're to follow the Lord Jesus, the gift of God's love. And this one Lord Jesus wants to be active in each one of our lives. I had a picture on my Facebook of two train tracks. And one goes off to the right and the other one continues on. The question was, will you follow Jesus or will you turn away? God wants to know that from my heart today. God wants to know that from your heart today. You know, many things have caused a lot of difficulty in our life, and we realize that. But we also need to know that one of the things that is a blessing is that no matter how much you've messed up, no matter how broken your life is, God is going to share with us in this next song that we're going to listen to, Why Take a Little Breath. God is going to share with us, bless the broken road. The brokenness of my life, God, you have a way of putting all those pieces back together. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
To where you are, others who broke my God bless the broken road and led me straight to you. I think about the years I spent just passing through. I'd like to take the time I lost and give it back to you. But you just smile and take my hand.
Take my hand.
And then you understand it's all part of this grander plan.
You know, there's a lot of people in this world today that they've had so much brokenness in their life. And that broken road was what led them to realize they needed a God factor in their life. They needed a component of a caring God. That God really cares what they're going through. And as I was learning when I was just 17, the fact that God wouldn't let you be tempted above what you were able to bear, but with that temptation would make a way of escape that you would be able to bear it. And God wants us to know that regardless if we came from a broken road, a broken life, regardless if we have messed up tremendously, God saying to us, as he did through that song, let that road lead you to God. The Lord Jesus changed so many lives. Remember what we were talking about? He meets you where you are, but he never leaves you where he finds you. And Jesus changed so many lives when he was here in person. And that's exactly what he wants to do for you today. But all of us don't come from broken roads. I had no religious pedigree when I come to know Jesus. I didn't know anything about religion. We never went to church. We didn't even have a Bible in the house. Other people have been in religion ever since they were teeny little babies. And one day Jesus was talking about a man that he met, a man by the name of Nicodemus. And he was a very religious person. And he was very religious, but he kind of wondered about the things that he's hearing about Jesus. And you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. and he was hearing some things. And so one evening he came to Jesus. It's recorded for us in the book of John, chapter 3. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Jewish council, which means he was high up in those things. He came to Jesus one night and he said to him, "Rabbi," or teacher, "we know that God has sent you as a teacher. No one can perform the miracles that you perform unless God is with him." Jesus replied to Nicodemus, "I can guarantee you this truth, Nicodemus. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus asked him, "How can anyone be born when he is an old man? He can't go back into his mother's womb a second time to be born, can he?" Jesus answered Nicodemus, "I guarantee you this truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh and blood give birth to flesh and blood, but the Spirit gives birth to things that are spiritual. Don't be surprised when I tell you that you must be born again from above. You know the wind blows wherever it pleases. You can hear its sound, but you don't know where the wind comes from or where the wind is going. That's the way it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus is going to get a lot more than he figured for. He just wanted to figure out, Jesus know, and I love the way he did that. Remember what I said about the foundation for this study? I want us to consider that Jesus meets us where we are in life, and he never leaves us where he finds us. And this is true with Nicodemus. He's meeting him at nighttime when Nicodemus wanted to, and he's meeting him with all of his religious background that he has. And he wants to share with him, "Nicodemus, something is missing in your life. You got a lot of religious ideas, and you got a lot of religious words that you can use. But Nicodemus, you need the component of a God factor in your life." And that's exactly what he was wanting to do for Nicodemus. I love the way Nicodemus started to share with Jesus about himself and the other religious leaders. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God as a teacher. No one could do the things that you do except God was with him." But I love the way Jesus built on what Nicodemus said. He isn't condemning Nicodemus. He's saying, "You know what, Nicodemus? No one can come into the kingdom of God without being born from above." He's saying, "Nicodemus, religion can't do that for you. You need to be born from above. You've had a physical birth. Now what you need is a spiritual birth." Jesus explained that when a baby is born, he said that birth comes when the mother's waters break and that baby is given a physical birth. But you need a spiritual birth. And that spiritual birth is just like the way the wind works. You can see it, you can hear it, you can see it, you can feel it, but he's saying you don't know where it's coming from and where it's going. And you know, this God factor that God wants to use in your life, it's coming from above. It's like the wind. It'll come into your life, and you'll have a personal relationship, not with religion, but with the person of Jesus. And that's what Jesus wanted for Nicodemus. Now, I need to tell you, doesn't anything tell us that, you know, Nicodemus fell on his face and said, "That's what I need," or anything like that? Nicodemus went back. He went back to being a Pharisee. He was doing the things that he'd been doing all of his life. But I think he kept thinking about this. And, you know, that's one of the things that I love about the idea of Christianity, the idea of the way Christ wants to minister in our lives. He wants us to think it through. One day there was in that council that Nicodemus was a part of, the Jewish council. They sent some of the guards from the Jewish synagogue to arrest Jesus. And the temple guards went and they listened to Jesus. And man, you're overwhelmed with his teachings. And other people, when they heard that, his teaching, some, their lives were being changed. So when the temple guards returned to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and Nicodemus was there, they said, "Why didn't you bring Jesus?" The temple guards answered, "No human has ever spoke like this man." The Pharisee asked the temple guards, "Have you been deceived by him? Has any ruler of the Pharisees believed in him? This crowd is cursed because they don't know what Moses taught. And we know what Moses taught," they're saying. One of the Pharisees, now listen, his name is Nicodemus. He's the one that came to Jesus by night. And Nicodemus asks the leaders of the council, "Do Moses' teaching enable us to judge a person without first hearing that person's side of the story?" That's just good common sense. We can't judge a person without finding out what the person has done. "How can we judge him?" Nicodemus asked. And then the Pharisees, the head ones of the ask, were saying to Nicodemus, "Are you saying that because you're from Galilee? Nicodemus, study the scripture, and you will see that no prophet comes from Galilee." And so they all went home. They didn't discuss it anymore. I love it that what Nicodemus was saying, does our religion enable us to judge a person without hearing their side of the story? Does our religion enable us to judge a person without finding out first what he has done? I believe that message that Jesus gave to Nicodemus about you must be born from above was beginning to take a hold of Nicodemus' life. We don't hear anything about Nicodemus until Jesus has died on the cross and he is crucified. He is dead. There was another man in the Bible by the name of Joseph. He also was a believer and a disciple of Jesus, but he did it secretly. He wasn't out front about it because he was afraid of the Jews, what they might do to him if he confessed that he was a follower of Jesus. But he did go to Pilate, and he got permission to remove the body from Jesus from the cross. And then we read in John 19, he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus bought a bunch of myrrh and alloys, about 75 pounds, to get the body ready for burial. And together those two men took the body of Jesus down from the cross. And one of them Joseph had hewed out a place for his own body to lay when he died. And they placed the body of Jesus in that tomb. You know what, folks? There's a lot of people in the Bible that someday I hope I have the privilege to meet. But you know what? Of all the people in the Bible, the two people that I want to meet the most is these two men. You know why I want to do that? They did for Jesus what Jesus couldn't do for himself. They took his body down from the cross and they carried it to the place where the tomb was. And Nicodemus had brought along some spices and they wrapped the body in cloth and placed the spices there and then rolled the stone in front of the tomb. I gotta tell you, folks, I think it's so important for us to realize that we all have to have something that we can do, not in the name of religion, but something that we can do in the name of Jesus. Because of our relationship that we have with him. And even though these two weren't out front with that relationship, they surely stepped up and did what needed to be done. As I wrap up our service for this morning, I want us to think about the Lord Jesus and his motivation. Because what I believe Jesus is asking of us today is what Jesus did himself. Jesus does not ask us to do something that he wouldn't have done. And Jesus, when he came to planet Earth, he came to do his Father's will. The Father had sent him down here to be the teacher and the healer and all the things that he did with his life. But he sent him down here to die, that him who knew no sin would be willing to become sin for you and I. So I want to learn from Jesus and the God factor that was in his life. And I believe Jesus said it about as beautiful as it could be said one day in John 13:3, when Jesus said, he knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he knew that he came from God and was returning to God. He had a relationship with the Father. And there's two things that I'd like to kind of give you an idea of what Jesus did, and he kept it as a priority. And these two things are some of the priority that we need to be doing. You know, everybody couldn't have taken Jesus' body down from the cross, but those two men did. And everybody can't do the same thing that Jesus did when he was here. But we can do something. Because of our relationship with Christ, we can do things for him that's going to count for eternity. And Jesus, when he was on planet Earth, he was doing things that the Father had sent him to do. And only Jesus could do this. In the morning, it says he went to a place where he could be alone. The crowd searched for him. When they came to him, they tried to keep him from leaving. But listen to what Jesus said to them. I have come to tell the good news about the kingdom of God, but I got to tell it to other cities also. That's what I was sent here to do. So he spread the message in the synagogues and all over the land of Judah. Jesus carried that message that he came. You know what? That message was important for us is because Jesus put priority on doing what God the Father wanted him to do. And I believe that's what God is saying to us today. I remember one day when Jesus was talking to people, and Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and yet he forfeit his soul? Or one day when Jesus was talking to a group of people on the side of a mountain, he said, seek first the kingdom of God. Then all the things that you're seeking for will be added to you. I love that Jesus made his priority to spend some time with God the Father alone. And I believe we need that kind of time. But I also believe it's important to realize that Jesus knew he was here to be a teacher. And that's even what Nicodemus called him. We know that you're a teacher sent from God. And Nicodemus knew that, and all the other people were beginning to find that out. And he's come to your life and he's come to my life to teach us that it's just not being religious, but it's about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those people in that time, in Jesus' time, they wanted Jesus just to stay with them, and Jesus had to say to them, I've got to go to other cities. I got to go and do some preaching over there and some teaching over there, because that's what the Father sent for me to do. Now, here's what I'd like to close the service with this morning. I believe God is saying to us, press on. Don't give up. Trust this God. Do things for him. And realize that he wants you to accomplish that. But you know how that's going to be accomplished in my life? And how that's going to be accomplished in your life? Keeping the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is that Christianity is about Jesus and about having a relationship with him that he wants us to do. I've got a closing song for you that I'd like to have us listen to. And this song is reminding us, press on, dear people. I'm encouraging you this morning, press on. Don't give up. Keep busy for Jesus. Do the things that he wants you to do, and God will bless it and honor it. God bless you. Bye-bye.
When the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the